Our text this evening is taken from Matthew chapter 24. Starting in verse 11 and reading through verse 14, the scriptures say, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Of course, Matthew 24 is an oftentimes used wrong in prophesying. Jesus here talking about the end of the nation state of Israel. But there are many truths in these verses that we find so relevant today. For we have many out there today who are banging on your doors. And they're out there and their purpose is to witness for Christ. We find in these things sometimes a sham, and sometimes these folks are very sincere in what they believe. But what is amazing is that we have to use certain terminologies in order to kind of get people to believe in something they've never really studied. What we really have is an experimental religion. And they are searching for additional proofs to God's promises. Kind of, if you will, picture a doubting Thomas. Was trying to find the nail prints in Christ's hands. And only after he finds them will he truly believe. What we find is a lack of faith is not being mustered enough to accept the Word of God as being complete and totally authoritative. The weak tend to supplement divine revelations with a personal testimony. Paul, in Acts 27 and verse 25, he declared, as we all should, "For I believe God, that it shall be as it is told to me." That means that I don't have to tell you a personal story to get you to believe in God. I could tell you how I came to be sitting in the pews in the Church of Christ in Oscoda, Michigan in 1978. And it wasn't anything destitute on my life. It's just a matter I was searching for truth. I finally found it. But it didn't take someone witnessing their own personal experiences to get me to do that. It was just a simple invitation. A lot of folks have a feeling about things. And these folks are crowding on a sinking ship with feelings instead of standing on the promises of God. There are a lot of folks out there that are looking for something miraculous to happen to show them the way. If you were to visit, and I hope you don't, but if you were to visit some of these New Age churches today, you probably wouldn't get a whole lot of substance. They're out to try to update things and to bring things up to speed with the 21st century. They fail to realize that God's Word has been completed, that there is no additional things that is going to be needed to meet our needs. Matthew 17 and verse 5, Jesus, or God told the disciples that were with Jesus at that time, John, James, and Peter, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." As we should be hearing him today through his word, we can quit looking elsewhere. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And they haven't. They have endured the test of time. Man has tried to burn Bibles, and God's Word still flourishes today. Of all the number one bestsellers, none of them combined equals the number one bestseller of the Bible. None equals the printing that is done each and every year of this book. John 12:48 says that God's Word will judge us in the last day. So it would behoove all of mankind to sit down and look at God's Word to see what it has to say. He has given us His terms of salvation, and no one else can supplant something else in there. They can't take away from it. They can't add to it. Many today stand on the realm of emotionalism in order to get folks excited about religion. We all know how emotions go. It has its peaks and valleys. Only a firm foundation can make our spiritual structure sound. A saving faith is needed, and a saving faith is not produced by what we see. And we look at oftentimes Hebrews 11 and verse 1 as the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But what do we hope for? What did Abraham hope for? Because this great faith chapter gives us many examples of faith, of men that had faith. Did Abraham see everything that he was promised? No. It was his hope and that faith that it would happen. He dwelled his entire life in a tent, not going to be satisfied with an earthly city. And he certainly had the riches to build an earthly city. But he sojourned in a tent all of his days. He was looking by faith to a better city built with the hands of God. A saving faith is not something that we can see. It is not something that has been seen. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. And Romans 10:17 tells us how we receive that faith. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And yet man has tried to find other sources of faith, but it's just not there. We cannot get to heaven without faith. In Hebrews 11 and the 6th verse tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. It is through that faith that we have the hope of salvation. None of us in this room saw Christ hanging on the cross. All we have of that day is what is written in God's Word. That is the proof that we have. It is by faith that allows us to make that proof a reality in our hearts, and we truly believe that. It is through faith that we have hope of salvation. That hope is also essential to our salvation. But Romans 8:24 tells us that we are saved by hope, but hope that is hope is not seen. Seen is not hope. I'll get it right. For what a man sees, does he yet hope for? Salvation is based on a simple, trusting faith in God and a full reliance on His promises. There's not going to be a street sign out there saying, "Heaven's this way." There's not going to be a landmark or a mountain out there that said heaven is over there. It is truly by hope and faith. You know, so many out there that'll tell you that they're witnessing for Christ, but who truly witnesses? A witness is one that has seen something occur. If I was to be a witness in your trial at court, I had to have seen the actions that you had taken. If I had not seen the actions, it would have been hearsay. If somebody told me those things, it would have been hearsay. In John 3 and verse 11, Jesus said, "We speak that which we know, and we testify that which we have seen." Those are witnesses. John 1 and verse 18 tells us that no man has seen God at any time. You know, Tanya brought up a good point in class this morning about Jehovah, that my name is Jehovah. And it kind of got us off on a little question there. But we have one group of people who claim to be his witnesses. Have they seen God? No. How can you be a witness of something you have not seen? In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, Paul writes here, "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see." Why is it we can't see God? Because God is spirit. And anyone who claims to have seen God is one that Jesus had spoke of, a false prophet, a false teacher. Only one that has walked this earth has ever seen God. And that is Jesus Christ. John 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God." He has seen the Father. So Jesus Christ is the only one that can testify of God himself. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, John 4, verse 32. No one on the face of this earth can ever claim to be God's witness. The only approved witnesses that we have were the apostles. They had been with Jesus. They had been through thick and thin. They watched him hang on that cross. They watched him being resurrected from the dead. And they can accurately testify concerning him. Look at what John wrote in 1 John in the first three verses. John, at this point, was a very old man. John, one of the few apostles that actually died a natural death. But he said, and he wrote there, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we have seen and heard, and that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." There were actual witnesses, and they were qualified because they saw everything firsthand. They were involved firsthand. They are the only ones that can lay claim of being a witness for Christ. What is our testimony about Christ? Do we have one? No. I don't. I only go by what I read and believe. But I am far from being a witness to anything. Before Jesus' departure, he charged his disciples in Luke 24, verse 48, that you are witnesses of these things. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, just before his ascension into heaven, he said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And you can look at the journeys of the apostles and where they traveled from India into Spain, down into Egypt, into Africa, all the way up into Europe. And these great men bearing witness to the things that Christ had done. And these were qualified men. In Acts chapter 10, verses 39 through 42. And it says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people. And here's the key, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Peter also claimed in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1 that he was a witness to the sufferings of Christ. He has seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people, Acts 13, verse 31. The apostles, the only witnesses. And then there was Paul. And though he wasn't among the original apostles, he was chosen by Jesus Christ to be an apostle. Now we kind of wonder, why would we, Jesus ever try to choose a man like Saul of Tarsus? A man who tried his very best to eradicate Christianity, to get rid of it once and for all. But Jesus did. And Paul stated the reasoning behind it in Acts 26 and verse 16. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is Jesus talking to Paul. This is Paul's account of that day. He said, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, an eyewitness of the risen Lord. But he was also the many appearances of the Lord in his labors for him. Jesus told Paul that he would suffer many things for his cause. But Jesus was always there for him. Later, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8, last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. But in order for Paul to be that witness, required a personal appearance of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Paul, one of the greatest ministers of all time. A true witness. Salvation cannot originate within man itself. We cannot come up with different things in order to attain eternal life. God designed and purposed our salvation before he created this world. And he has also revealed unto us his terms of pardon through the gospel. Our faith needs to rest in God's word, not in man's devices. We will either accept the witnesses of men and thereby reject salvation, or we will accept his salvation by our obedience to his word. We'll find that the witnesses that God chose were true. And that is reason enough that we should all trust in his word. Trust and obey. There's no other way, is what the song says that we often sing. But we must trust and obey in his word and not in anything else. That is the only way that we will be added to his church. Faith comes by hearing, as we read in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. And we believe that word because of our faith in that word. And because we believe and we have faith, we know that we need to repent, to turn our lives around. And as Jesus said, those who will confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father. And we must give our confession before men. And we must be baptized for the remission of sins. And then it is God himself who adds us to his church. That is how we enter heaven. That's how we are reconciled with God. Not by listening to someone else tell us his personal story. If there's anyone here tonight who wants to make that commitment, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe some things have been happening in your life that has caused you to stumble and turn your back to him a little bit. There's something that you need to repent of publicly. We want to give you that opportunity tonight also. But if there's something in private in your own personal life that you need to repent to God about, you can go to him in your own personal prayers. And maybe you just need the prayers of the church itself. Maybe there's some things going on in your life that you just want us to be able to pray for you. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.